While everyone's obsessing about the Christmas season, you've got a different season on your mind. One where red noses come from shouting your support in the crisp, cold, pitchside air. Where the roaring fire is in your belly, not your sitting room. And the perfect gift is an unexpected win. Don't miss a moment with a GAA season ticket. A gift for yourself or the fan in your life. Available at gaa.ie/season ticket. Are you in? The GAA, where we all belong.
Football on off the ball.
All you want to do is just play football, and it's the greatest joy in the world. And then I sometimes get caught up in thinking it's a job.
Of course.
It is a job, but it's really not. It's a game of football at the end of the day, and it's when I'm sitting there and after a bad result or whatever, and then you're like, you know what, this is supposed to be fun.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod Club. On Off The Ball, in partnership with AIB, proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships for men's football, hurling, ladies football and camogie, because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.
How are you doing? And you're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue and Tommy. Nice to be back, fellas. It's late on a Wednesday evening we're recording this week. We'll be doing the next couple of Mondays, and we're in the midst of our Football Pod Club series this winter. One episode down, one more to come next week. Wednesday, we've got an inter-county manager.
Two more to come
in the next 2 weeks, yeah. Three more to come overall. Jeez, my maths aren't working at all. How are you both doing? Are you good? All well?
I'm 6 out of 10.
We're running on empty here.
Tommy has chosen the time for this, right? At 10 o'clock at night. And he's the one with no kids. And we're the fools then. Coming down from bedtime at nappy changing time. And Tommy only wanted to watch the first half of the Champions League and go to rearranging all the podcasts.
We're running on empty here, T. You need to adapt. You need to adapt with us, like.
That's okay.
We need to evolve.
Yeah, I'm doing my best, but we can treat this as a therapy session if you want. If you don't want to get talking club football, if you don't want to talk all the county stories that are happening, we can just talk about what's going on in each other's lives. If you want, I'm sure the listeners would love to hear from me, because we've been quite sporadic over the last couple of weeks and months. Now, we needed that break. We needed that break to go back and focus on our clubs in the off season, and we're getting ready now for the county season.
True. No, we did. Do you know what, Tom? Honestly, I feel like we're always talking about our personal lives, but you never give us anything back. I think from now until the start of the championship, I think every week you should give us one fun fact about Tommy Rooney.
I don't have very much going on, James. That's the problem. It's all football for me. I can't even talk about my golf at the minute.
Oh, I bought a new driver.
Oh, go on.
Did you? Now I'm interested in this podcast.
I bought it for the pod so we could talk about it. Cobra Dark Speed Max.
That sounds sexy.
It is.
It sounds like it's good. Like.
It's the most.
How far do you drive it now? It's just not a time to use it though, Jimmy, is it? Late November, it's dark at about 3 o'clock. You have the baby.
And you've got playing your much shoulders. Golf, I'd say. Genetically,
yeah, your arms don't work.
I mean, it's all in the legs. It's all in the backside. Yeah. My hip rotation is phenomenal.
I believe it. Is that all the trusts?
Exactly.
In the gym.
Single leg trusts.
Your glutes are great.
Legion gym. Yeah, okay. Well, listen, I can't wait to see your Cobra Dark Master Speed in action early next year.
Dark Master.
Paddy, I hazard a guess to say that you haven't dusted off the clubs in the last week.
No.
Have it up on Instagram there that you've gone through a bit of a busy week there, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm in the new gaff here.
Best
of luck with it.
Came in on Friday, yeah. Moved out of the coldest day of the year with no heat. So that wasn't great. I'm broke for the rest of my life. And... It's like about fucking Beirut here to build the box has gone around the place. Like, so yeah, this is a recording. First recording of the show from the new house.
I saw Doreen had photos up of, was it the actual inside of the house currently or like her vision for the house? Because if it's the current state, it was outrageous.
No.
I was like,
were you on Pinterest, James, were you?
That's what she's looking to do. Yeah. No, the inside of the gaff is an absolute fucking kip. Yeah, no, that's not. That would be nice, though. I got a shiver down my spine when I seen it, because I'm like, that's going to cost me a fucking fortune. But no, honestly, the gaff, there's fuck all in it. Just empty boxes. I do have the TV set up, as you can see from my glasses, watching the Champions League here.
Yes.
But no, we got in the other day. Stressful enough. Like, you were in before Sophia came along.
Yeah, we were in
trying to do it with the babies. Yeah. Oh, shambles. Like, fucking shambles.
I can only imagine.
I can imagine that must be hard now.
It's good news, though, for loyal listeners to the pod, because I think the two of you committing to mortgages in the last couple of months means that you're locked in for the pod for the next couple of years as well.
Unless we get a lucrative managerial gig, we have to be beggars can't be losers now, T. If you see me managing fucking Tullamore Gales, you'll know.
I reckon being a manager mightn't be the way to go now. You know, they're looking at this stipend of just 20 grand a year for the manager. You'd want to be coming in as a performance coach and maybe get your rates up a bit higher. Or maybe James a kicking coach or something like that. Or, you know, that's the way to, I think, approach these things, because the manager is going to be stung. I know. I don't think that's actually going to pass, but obviously they're discussing with the amateur status.
20 G's. Wow. And the county boards will be on the hook for that. Not these very lucrative sponsors in the background. What about, is the sponsored car part of the 20 grand? No.
Good question, Paddy.
What about the expenses outside of the 20 grand?
See, this is the problem. This is what's going to start happening.
There's too many skeletons here, lads.
So everybody's getting a few bob except for the players.
Very and true.
Podcasters.
Yeah. Obviously, DJ made that point on the documentary about DJ Kerry last night as well.
I didn't see it. I haven't recorded. Go on. How bad.
I only saw episode one. There wasn't much now in episode one. The book, The Dodger, is well worth a read now. There wasn't a huge
amount. There's
two episodes. Yeah, it was a precursor. So, say that again.
How much did you get?
James, you've seen what it's like trying to get 15 quid off me for lunch. So,
would you get him on the next show? Would you get him on the show? Is DJ one of the AIB clubs? No.
No. But it was interesting.
Episode 4. That season finale, that'd be good.
It was interesting to see, though, the early days of the GPA and the boot deals that the players were getting back then. And the point was being made, the amount of money slashing around and players being the ones missing out.
Well, he was before the Celtic. He was late 90s, wasn't he, with Puma? Yeah, he was. Wasn't he the first boot deal?
It's worth watching. And then episode two, I'm sure, will be as I get into the very sad story of the last 20 odd years of the con that has happened. So, well worth watching. And the book itself by Eamon New Brainon is well worth reading. I'm in the middle of it at the minute.
A boot deal wouldn't be as good for a sponsor for a hurler, like, would it? Because they're not kicking it.
I do think that. They don't kick the fucking thing.
Yeah, but they're on the field and you can see it. And do you know what I didn't like? Do you remember the Ireland-New Zealand game there a few weeks ago, and they were all wearing the same bloody yellow Adidas boot?
Turned off
a little bit. Didn't like that. Wasn't for me.
They have that a good bit. Remember they won the World in 2015, they all have to wear the black boots.
Do you ever get approached for a boot deal?
A couple of times, yeah.
Miserable.
Being serious.
This is like stick to home about Theodora.
Shows your contract.
We bring in the AIG contracts from the Dubs.
Yeah.
Did I fuck get a boot deal? Jesus Christ. No.
Well, Jimmy, surely 2014 and Footballer of the Year brought about some lucrative collaborations, maybe.
Well, Niall Callaghan started me out with Nike. He had a link to some fella in Nike, and they started me out a couple of years ago. Just with like gear and boots, and everything. Obviously there was no.
That's interesting.
There was no.
I wore Nikes at the end as well. Like, I was Adidas the whole way. Adidas started getting real chunky. Remember that, Jimmy? They were like fucking the big rugby boots, and then switched over to the old Nikes.
Yeah, Tempos are phenomenal. But then what they started bringing out, the sock ones, the Magistas.
Ooh.
So they sent me down like a box with 10 pairs of boots of them, and I was like, this is the business. And every pair was lime green with the socks up around the ankles. I was like, oh no.
Not for you.
I had to send it back. I was like, send me this now, but they were trying to send the latest thing.
But it, yeah, I know players get a grant nowadays. Did you get a grant back then to buy two pairs of boots or something at the start of the year? Was that a part of it as well?
I suppose, yeah.
But it's a big thing, like I don't know about you, but like even playing club football, you'd go through a couple of pairs of boots in a season, depending on the weather as well. You know?
I suppose in Kerry, the county board would look after you for a pair or two as well. You know?
Yeah. So naturally, so. Yeah, I know. It's interesting. But listen, Dada. Oh, look at them. Ooh, I like them.
You took them out of the attic. What are they?
Mercurial Vapors. Yeah.
Vapors.
You had to be lightning quick to wear these. Me and Ronaldo used to wear them.
They weigh about 20 grams or something.
Give us a little look there, Paddy.
You wouldn't be wearing these babies in Healy Park in January for a league match. Or
if somebody stepped on your toe there, it's the toe broken.
Yeah, absolutely gone. No, it was great because we're clearing out obviously all the attic with all the gear. I found a box full of Dublin jerseys. I didn't think I had any Dublin jerseys, and I found the box full, like, right little numbers in there. Like, go back,
pick out a few ones of these.
You'll have to auction them off.
I think so. Yeah,
things
I didn't think I had
bad.
Any. So, the Paddy Andrews Foundation. No, I will. I was gas. So we're going through, show you up in the attic. They had to move out. I go, Jesus, there's a box full of Dublin Mercurial Vapors. You can have them because I'm never going to wear them again.
It's amazing, I'd say, the clear out. Sometimes when you go and try and clear stuff out, you end up keeping more stuff finding more stuff to leave around the house.
All of the medals rolling out of the fucking attic and everything. Great.
What a guy.
I had them coming out of the air, Jimmy. Like,
As I mentioned, next Wednesday. So I hope you've checked out our episode with Gavin White and Shane Ryan. The lads came across brilliantly. We did an hour with them. We also actually caught up last week. AIB have launched their new campaign. The toughest is no more. So it's for the life you're after. So they've launched their new campaign, and we're going to be hearing a lot more about that on the pod over the next little while. And we were in AIB's offices. James, long-term employee of AIB down in Kerry. This is your first time up in the shiny building and the big smoke, as we did a little show internally last week.
I'm usually tied to the desk, but I got up for an hour or two. And lovely office, isn't it?
It's class. Beautiful. Yeah. Very good.
And a good show.
Were you impressed? Yeah, and very enjoyable. We had some great guests on the day as well. We had Ellen Gribben, a teammate of Paddy's from St. Bridget's and the Dublin women's team, and Danielle Smith, former Dublin Camogie star and Vincent's captain this year, or maybe he wasn't captain this year, but certainly was a star of the Vincent's team. She's been captain in the last couple of years of the Vincent's Camogie side that just fell short in Leinster after winning the Dublin Championship. And then we also caught up with Paddy, your old teammate, and James, your nemesis on the field, James McCarthy, and Stephen Rochford, who you would have both faced on the sidelines with Mayo over the years, and who's involved with Tullamore at the minute, who have a Leinster Club semi-final this weekend. So that was interesting, wasn't it? Plenty to chat through, and we covered a lot from the club and county season with the good folks in AIB's head offices last week. So we're back with this pod, and it's been a very varied start so far, as usual, for ourselves. Will we mention who we have coming up in episode 3, or will we save that, lads, for another week?
Oh, go on, if people are listening to us, go on, give them a little treat.
We'll give you the gist, right? Next Wednesday, we have an episode, as we mentioned, going out with an inter-county manager who is a legend on the football field. You'll get a teaser for that on the Football Pod Instagram later in the week. And then at the end of next week, we are recording in Dublin, Friday week. James, if you can make it up, that'd be fantastic. With two of Dublin's All-Ireland winning stars from this year. I'm not going to give away exactly who we've got, but we've got one of them who's starring in the AFLW. I don't know why I said starring like that in the South Dublin accent. They're starring in the AFLW this year. Very interesting, lad, seeing. And I know we've had these conversations about the likes of Kobe McDonald or Ben Murphy in the last couple of weeks, and even Mark O'Connor, who's home now. But in the AFLW this year, it's obviously a four-month season, and the Irish players are having an impact at the top of the game, not just young talents, but 39 Irish players were involved across the four-month season. Of the 21 players named in the All-Australian Team of the Year, so they named their Team of the Year, their All-Stars, the week before the Grand Final, which is kind of interesting. So they picked 21. They have their fullbacks, their halfbacks, their midfielders, their half-forwards, their full-forwards, their followers, and then their interchange stars, who I presume can play in whatever position. So of the 21, five of them were Irish players. So 25% of the team were Irish, which is very interesting.
Wowzers.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah, Bláthnaid Bogue of Fermanagh and North Melbourne. Dana Finn of Mayo and Carlton. Aoife McDonagh of Hawthorn and Galway. Niamh McLaughlin, who's actually captaining the Gold Coast Suns and Donegal. And Jennifer Dunn, of course, from Dublin and the Brisbane Lions. And in the AFLW final this Saturday, it is the North Melbourne against Brisbane Lions. So Jennifer Dunn's side up against Bláthnaid Bogue's side. So that's on
the 21. That is unreal. Like, the size of Australia and the size of us.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. Talk about bringing back the international rules.
We are a serious country for sport. Like.
We're sensational.
Imagine, like, and GA is obviously the be all and end all, but imagine the world domination if there was no GA. If we had
a split season, and we just had GA in a small window, and we could go off and play whatever other sports we wanted after that.
There'd be a ban on other sports.
Yeah, we've been there before. Let's not go back there. But you know what? When we're talking about international rules, and I suppose the way it's going, I don't know what. There's people there suggesting, when I put up the team on Twitter, that the LGFA should set up their own franchise and travel over for a month over to Australia. To just meet this head on.
Mow everyone down. Beat them all.
Meet it head on. Be like the South African sides in the URC. But if there's going to be an international rules return in two, the natural place would probably be with the AFLW. They're saying that the average salary from the start of the 2027 season in the AFLW would be just under 50 grand in the women's game. In the men's game, the average salary is just under 290, or it's going to be that for the...
Aussie dollars. This Aussie dollars.
Euros. That's going off a piece by Carlo Kane in the Irish Mirror back in August. Euros, yeah, 290.
So the girls are going to get 50 G's and the lads get a minimum of 290.
That's the average, yeah. So the AFLW has only started recently. Like, that's a doubling.
Yeah.
Doubling from the 2023 season. So, James, you're about to say 50,000 euros, but like, you think of the weather.
In Sydney. You'd want to be nearly doing a few evenings in the coffee shop or something.
I'm sure there is a bit of that going on too.
290 would be nice.
Take that. Give me that.
It's going to be really interesting hearing from our guest in 2 weeks' time at the football club. So we'll have a good debate about it. And I suppose the repercussions. Really good, yeah. But the repercussions is having on the women's game as well, because these players are at the top of the game in women's football.
It's not like the working on the women's side, Tommy. They're coming back into playing as well. It's the Hanley scenario. I know that could change. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and I think it's on the road to changing as well. So that's over the next couple of weeks. We're looking forward to bringing you that. We'll be back, as I said, the next 2 Mondays after the provincial finals. And we're going to have a wee chat now about some of the intercounty stories and the club stories that are happening across the board as well. Fellas, I've been... Oh, they're great boots, Paddy. They're lovely boots.
Class.
Paddy, would you play in different boots than what you train in? Or would you just train in the same boot all the time?
The boys were like John Terry. They'd have like 4 pairs of boots per match.
For a warm-up. They'd have warm-up boots. And then they go in and AIG and lay out your new boots for the first half.
There you go.
You'd wear 2 a season, wouldn't you? You'd wear big fuck-off stud boots when you're in McHale Park in January and February. And then when you get to Croker in July and August, it's light. Slippers.
I keep the studs on for Croker.
Yeah,
it definitely did me no favors, but like for the calves and things, but there's some turn, like it's slippy. Crowback's actually slippy enough. The studs did a lovely turn off them.
Who was telling us that backs should always wear stud and crowback?
Definitely without a shield of a doubt.
Yeah, you should be careful in the fullback.
The whole championship.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So some of the score lines from the weekend, we're going to breeze by these because. It's Wednesday evening, or Tuesday evening when we're recording here, and it'll be out on Wednesday, so when most people are listening. Kilcoo took care of Erngeill's Beleek 4-12 to 1-10, ending the Fermanagh champion season after they beat Kingscourt Stars last week. Kilcoo, obviously, lads, are going to be very, very strong again this year.
Yeah.
You've got their forward line. Eugene Brannigan scoring 1-1. Paul Devlin scoring 1-1. Shannon Johnson scoring 1-1. Caelan Doherty scoring 1-1. They're spreading the scores across the board. Ryan Johnson clipping a couple of points as well, and Jerome Johnson pulling the string. So the same Kilcoo players, a lot of them that we've been seeing doing such damage in the All-Ireland Club Series over the last couple of years and cleaning up and down in Ulster. And they're going to be facing either Scotstown or Newbridge, because as we know, in Omagh at the weekend, Joe McQuillan made the decision, referee at halftime of that game when Scotstown were leading by 4 points, 1-4-3 against the Derry champion Sean O'Leary Newbridge, to postpone it. And not often that happens, as we know. The game has been refixed for the Athletic Grounds this Sunday, and the Ulster final has been kicked back by 6 days to the following Saturday. So that's been fixed, refixed. And the big news coming out of it, I suppose, is Ryan O'Toole, the Monaghan defender who was suspended for Scotstown, has now served a suspension. So it's not quite... they've allowed him to serve a suspension in the original fixture. So, but it's not quite... I'm not going to make a comparison. It's not quite... Did you hear the crack with Ronaldo this evening? No, it's not quite Ronaldo. Yeah. Did you hear this?
Ronaldo got off, I presume, did he?
Yeah, so FIFA have made special dispensation for Ronaldo, who got a 3-match ban, right? So they're saying he's got a 3-match ban with the final 2 matches suspended, pending he doesn't get sent off again. So he's able to play in the World Cup and the start of the World Cup. So
is your man Infantino the greatest fucking creep in the history of world sports? Like, he is such a fucking non-event of a human being. Like the second that happened, you're like, your man is going to get him off here because he's such a weasel.
I've never
Johnny,
heard
of Johnny Infantino.
Just for clarity,
I wouldn't trust him with a fiver.
We're not saying Ryan O'Toole and Ronaldo is equivalent here, but like,
for hold on, and the Ryan O'Toole thing, that's a disgrace.
Why?
Because that match is null and void. The match didn't happen, basically.
Yeah.
How can the result doesn't count, but a suspension related to that match does? That's complete nonsense. Mm. And the match shouldn't be called off. Like, come on, you've played a fucking half, finish the game. Like, and our conditions are shit.
Was it darkness or was it rain?
Rain. It's the floodlights at Healy Park.
It was muck and it was rain and it was... Yeah,
it's November. It's club championship. You know, you've got to play it. Like, if you play a half... like, so Scotstown are 4 points up when it's called off. So they're pissed off about that. But they've done a number here to get Ryan Hill back for the next game.
Yeah.
What was the excuse for that?
Like, I don't know if they're a number, I'm not sure, but they must have had Dublin's. They must have had Dublin football solicitors, and don't tell me I'm coming up with a slight dig here. Don't tell me I'm coming up with a slight dig. Because John Bogarty reminded me of this. He was straight in with it on Twitter. Ryan O'Toole serving the suspension in a suspended game reminiscent of 2012 when Eamon Fennell did similar in a Mayo Dublin League game abandoned because of fog. So
yeah, I played that day, yeah.
There you go.
Good night out. We had a good night out that night.
Did you?
We were hammering Mayo as well in that game, and they called it off at halftime, and then Mayo beat us by about 20 points in the refix game.
Are you serious?
So we were shafted. We were shafted.
Do you remember who the referee was that day?
Fucking Joe McQuillan, let's say, was it?
No, Marty Duffy. Sligo with Marty Duffy.
Oh, Sligo Marty Duffy, yeah. He was really angry with it. He was always very angry with everyone, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Some refs are kind of like try and chat away with you. Marty Duffy was always, pissing the ball on you.
Yeah, it was the decision was made at halftime again. A huge disappointment to the supporters after a thrilling opening period. Mayo opened up a 2-point lead through Killian O'Connor and Conor Mortimer Freeze. The Dubs came roaring back with points through Jeremy Connolly and 2 from Mossy Quinn. And that period of dominance produced 7 points in succession for the away side. They were well on top until James McCarthy was given a straight red card for an elbow on Alan Freeman. I presume that was null and void as well. And Mayo managed to cut the Dublin lead to 3 points at the break.
Friend of the pod.
The fog ruined the chances of more action in the second half, and the CCCC will decide on Monday when the game can be replayed. We could do a series here on great GA games abandoned at halftime. James, have you had any yourself?
No. Well, I can't think of any now.
It's not much of a series, so.
Okay.
That's the end of it. One anecdote and move on.
He's ratty.
Look, Sophia has him on his toes. Like, you're rattled.
I'm looking at James. Baby monitor. She's that head is just tossing and turning.
Update.
You after 3 nights out in the rolling.
Is it still as easy as you felt it was at the start, life?
You were very scared at the start. Easy. You're bouncing around the place.
I was at the All-Stars, and I'm not going to name your former Kerry teammate who leaned over the table and said, does James O'Donoghue still think life is as easy as as he thought it was at the start with his newborn baby, Darren O'Sullivan. And I laughed and said, yeah, he does. But do you want to just give us an update here?
No, I still do. But once you have the time and the patience, you're fine.
Okay.
But we were starting this pod, and 10 minutes before the pod, she started. She knew like the podcast was starting, and she goes, I'm going to turn your evening upside down. Okay. Which is fair enough.
Which is,
there's no consideration, did I? No consideration at all.
You got to roll with it.
Yeah, no, she's fine.
So, yeah, no. Well,
we had Oasis, Tommy. Have we been recording since the Oasis gigs?
I was at Oasis, Paddy, yeah. We have. We've met a few times since. I had some crack at
have
that.
Have we?
Were you both at it?
Yeah, were you at it, James?
No, I was looking for a ticket, but I couldn't get
it. I was trying to get you a ticket, actually. I was actually. I did try and get you a ticket.
No, is it trying? I'd be good show if I come across one. That's basically, I'm never going to think of this again.
Yeah, like leave it with me. That's the equivalent of the leave it with me. Like, basically, no, just go and like.
Yeah.
I'm not that guy. I take on a crusade and I do my best. But I let you down that time.
Well, we're going to Prague anyway with the pod, so I look forward to that. You've promised us that, Tom.
I cannot wait. Yeah, no, I'm still waiting on an Irish pub in Prague to reach out for the week of the Ireland.
There is an Irish pub on the square. I was in it.
There is. In Prague. I've been there too.
So that's the Thursday.
Yeah, in fairness, this is the first public utterance of this. I did mention that.
But it's a work thing, so we have to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Are AIB sponsoring that as well? Did I hear that? They're not back to Brave, but they're the life you want to live in Prague.
The Irish football team?
No, for us, the pod.
Oh, for us, they could. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they easily could. Well, let's get into a few more of the games. Right, so that game was pulled at the weekend. You know, TG Carr did their best with the behind-the-goal cameras. I think they were all a bit disappointed when the game was pulled. David McCaig, the Scotstown manager, was very clear that Scotstown were ready to rock for that second half. And he said, you know, make no bones about it, the game will start again at 0-0 apiece the next day, and they're still happy to be in the Ulster Championship, but he felt they should have been played. The Ulster president was talking as well on TG Carr afterwards and said that, you know, they couldn't really legislate for the weather. It had given wind, but they weren't expecting the rain. But I think fixing a doubleheader in Omagh, and then Glenillan and Carrickmacross going to Carrickmacross didn't help, or going to extra time didn't help Glenillan winning that one. So,
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
The other games of the weekend, and there were some cracking games in the Intermediate and Junior Championships too, but James, in the Munster Senior Championship, we got two trimmings, and Dingle manager Pádraig Corcoran wasn't even happy with the performance that his side put in. Yeah. They were 1-8-0 score up at halftime against Munger St. Paul's. Now, it is a Munger St. Paul's side that have won their first Limerick Championship and are missing five starters, and I think another two fellas went off at the break, so they were up against it anyways. But they're being beaten by 1-8-0 score, and Pádraig Corcoran clearly setting high standards. I thought in the first half we were only so-so. Even though we were 1-8-0 score up, we were just disappointed with some of our handling and our final passing wasn't great. We left a fair few scores behind us. 1-8 wasn't bad kicking, although we would have been happier with a bit more. We were a bit better in the second half. They ran out in the end 2-15 the 2-point winners against Munger St. Paul's.
I think he's right, because in those games where you're hammering someone, the only kind of good thing you can take out of it is if you play really well. Otherwise, it's just like you just got to park it and move on. So he's obviously trying to drive standards there. Their handling was after playing with the wind in the first half. You know, missed a few chances. They weren't really that fluid, but again, the weather is so bad, and it's actually a time of year that suits Dingle, because their home field is so windy, and every time I'm back there, it seems to be wet and rainy and windy. So they're actually probably the most suited of any team that I know to these conditions, but they were just a little bit off the last day in terms of their handling and their skills. But I think they're going to be good side. Now, Munger were missing. I think they were down 5.
Yeah,
they were not anywhere near the Munger that were in the county championship. They were way off it. I mean, it wasn't a good representation of their capabilities, I don't think. But Dingle will definitely rattle. They'll rattle the whole thing, I think. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they'll be very hard to beat, especially if
James are up. They're up against a Barr side, and I watched this game. I had a close eye on this game at the weekend, who ripped Airoga under. Airoga, very good team, but just couldn't compete with their physicality in midfield. They destroyed the Airoga kick out, and their kicking style, the Barr's kicking style, they're kicking long, they're kicking fast, they're going direct, and they scored some brilliant goals at the weekend.
Airoga, Brian Hayes, wide open, Tommy.
They were. Did you go? You saw some of this?
Yeah, wide open. Like as you go on the championship, it gets tighter and tighter. Like Aero were so open, and then obviously they had a great start, and the goal went in. Obviously, a mistake by the keeper. It was
poor.
If you're the underdog and you're conceding a goal like that, it just punctures everybody and everything. You need everything to go your way, and for a goal to go in like that, I mean, Barris kicked on after that, and there was going to be no stopping.
Yeah, they were well on top. Did you catch much of Brian Hayes with his 3-3? Yeah. A second hat-trick against a Clare team, doing it at the Hurling in March, and then he's done it against Clare in the Munster Club Football Championship as well, 3-3 in both games.
Second finish was brilliant as well, down to the bottom corner, but again, open. Like, that was from a kick-out. Everyone just went to the break, didn't see the runner. I see, actually, Dingle caught Munger at one or two of them. Tom Sullivan was cheating off the kick-out and looking to attack.
He took his points.
Great result for Bears, but again, both those games, I think they need to park and really focus on each other, because it's going to be a completely different game. That would be a point or two in the difference in that game.
19 points and 15 points, the difference in those two games. So there were, we'll move on briefly now. Are you seeing any trends in some of these games, lads? Like, there's a lot of kicking leading the goals, like Barr's third goal, Dingle's first after 2 minutes was a Dylan Gainey punt up the field to Conor Gainey, takes on his man and buries it. The Barr's third goal was beautiful. Paddy, Finbar's corner forward, that was like John Wigginton Barrett, a glorious name. I was talking about his grandfather, Wiggy. Dave Wigginton was a legend in Cork soccer scenes back in the 1970s. He played at Cork Hibs, was in Brian Clough's Derby County squad in 1968 and was sent on loan to Ireland, and he never left. But his grandson now, John Wigginton Barrett, who's a prodigious hurler and was a brilliant rugby player, but he's a super footballer as well. He plays this beautiful outside of the boot pass over to Owen McGreevy, who plays another beautiful outside of the boot pass into Brian Hayes, and finishes off the hat-trick with a third goal. It was a classic goal, James, and two kicks, hard to beat.
Two kicks, ends in a score every single time. But again, the game was wide open at that stage. From that game between Barrs and Dingle, I can see Dingle kicking a lot of ball because they're willing to give up possession, I think. You know, they want to take the risk. They play that risk-reward football with Gainey's hands, Conor Gainey's hands, Dylan Gainey's kicking ability. I don't think Barrs will actually kick that much ball against Dingle. If you look at their off-the-shoulder running, it's so powerful. Like, their time off-the-shoulder runs so well. I think that's going to be their way around Dingle. I think the Dingle are going to be the ones that will kick the ball. Like Conor Gainey's goal at the start of the game against Mungret was textbook. You know, a kick in, he caught it on the full, turned left leg back in net, just brilliant play. I think there's actually contrasting sides. I know what you're saying, that the Barrs were kicking the ball by the end of the game, but that's because the game was over. You know, if you're talking about two outside the boot passes, I don't think it's as realistic going forward in the championship.
Are you seeing a lot of, and look, it seems quite obvious, and I think a lot of clubs probably would have spoken about it, if you steal a kick out and you keep a man inside, obviously you can even have a man behind the keeper if you want. Yeah. There's a goal on all the time. Like if you can intercept the kick out of midfield and fire a kick pass straight in,
yeah.
We're seeing a lot of this happening. Like, were you chatting about it in Legion?
Yeah, we weren't. No, not necessarily for getting a goal, but if your full back line players to get a short kick out have to work really hard to get away from their man. And if they're gone running, looking for a short kick out and the kick out goes long and you lose it, all it takes is a Tom Sullivan or something like that running from deep to get the goal chance. So it's definitely huge. But again, as the season goes on, I think the short kick out is going to be out the window. Every kick out is going to be long. They're going to keep their full back line in place. You won't see those goals or those points anymore. Like it didn't look great. Like, you know, when a kick out is kicked out, the next thing in 2 seconds in the back of the net in your own side.
No.
So,
no, it's, I can't, it's not great. There's a couple of goals in the Kilku Aaron Gales game as well. There was a similar goal like that as well. Okay. That Munster final has been fixed for 2 weeks' time in Semple Stadium. So that's been fixed. And I'll give you the other two. James, I know Legion were beaten in a Kerry intermediate semi-final against Angueltuk. They took care of Corrifin and Clare at the weekend. And their Munster semi-final, they're playing. I'm going to butcher this. I'm going to absolutely butcher this. It's not going to look great. But Abelogue from Cork, have I got that right or wrong?
Too bad, T.
They're playing in Rakeel.
Sounds plausible to me.
Thanks, P. We'll try it. They're playing in Rakeel on Saturday the 6th in the intermediate.
That's where Jimmy lives, is it?
Final. Yeah, he's not far. And then in the Munster Junior Club Championship final, we've got Ballymacallaghet of Kerry up against Buttevant of Cork, Saturday the 6th at 1 p.m. in Mallow. So they'll be good games too. And then, as I mentioned, Semple Stadium, Sunday the 7th, 1:30, Dangany Coosh Dingle up against St. Finbars of Cork. Jimmy Barry Murphy involved with the Finbars side.
When you're Semple Stadium.
Yeah, and actually, yeah. I actually covered the last time there was a Munster Football Club final there, Stacks against the Bars. I'd say it was one of Donaghy's last games for Stacks. Probably wasn't far off when it was the last game for Stacks, but the Bars won it that day. Michael Shields starring for the Bars that, and Brian Hayes. Brian Hayes was superb that day as well, playing wing forward. The Bars won that one. So, obviously, the Gaelic grounds are still recovering from the Castlehaven Dingle Munster final from 2 years ago, if you remember that one. So hopefully the weather's a bit better for that one in 2 weeks' time.
Well, both, so that'll be a good game. Actually, both Dingle and the Gaeltacht are training in the Theatre of Dreams at the moment.
Are they?
Wow.
It's very hard to get a pitch at the moment, so you must have a sensational surface.
Why are Dingle training there? Like?
Lights, Central.
Wow. Heritage. Football.
Heritage.
Football Heritage. They've done lights on their pitch.
No, well, I suppose they're the fellas in Cork and things, you know, so.
Well, isn't that a tale that's becoming very, very relevant these days? Clubs with facilities, but no players. And back in the day, they had the players.
What are you talking about? What in the name of God did you just say?
I'm just giving a precursor to our piece next week. That's all. I'm only joking. I'm only on the wind-up. No, that's brilliant. That's
time. We'll be talking about Legion being in the intermediate Munster final.
I can't wait.
Let's have a bet in it so we can keep it interesting for the year.
No, I wouldn't bet against
you. You have to do a Gary Lineker, present a live show.
But I'm rooting for you. I am rooting for you. It was only a joke there, James. Let's not start this again. Paddy, in Leinster this weekend, we have got the semi-finals. We've got a tie of Kildare up against Port Arlington and Laois, and Ballyboden St. Enda's up against Tullamore. These should be decent games. Tullamore have been very impressive all the way along, but they're up against it now against a Ballyboden side with the Basquels and the likes of Keane Darcy and a right bit of pedigree in their squad over the last decade or so. Didn't they win? They won back 10 years ago, didn't they, under Andy McEntee and
Wounded on Ireland, 2016. But no, they were strong. They probably weren't the most fancy team to come out of Dublin, but whoever does come out of Dublin is usually one of the favourites for the Leinster Championship as well. We had a good chat with Stephen Rochford as well, who's obviously heavily involved with Tullamore, and they've nothing to fear, that Tullamore team. So, you know, I think it'd be a brilliant game on Saturday, and the weather's not too bad either, which is good, but Ballybode, you said it there, Lakeen there, I see the Basquels. Not just those guys, they're kind of the marquee guys. They've just power athleticism all over the pitch. That's a ton more, probably have some younger lads, but just the depth. And you see the McCoola last year as well, when they went out and won the whole thing. there's just a level from all 15 of their players that there's no real weak links at Ballyboden or like that. The physicality, athleticism they have. You've seen the double final where they kind of just grilled down the feeder. Bowden will be favourites, but I think that will be an interesting game.
Yeah, Cormac Geoghegan, Killian Burke have been brilliant. Killian Burke, only after doing his leaving cert in the summer, Cormac Geoghegan has been running the show as well. And Harry Plunkett as well is one of their main boys in that Tullamore side. There's some brilliant footballers in that squad. Paddy, that Atai team as well. They hammered Summerhill the last day. Summerhill are meeting.
I actually watched that. I did see that, yeah.
Owen Frayne, yeah. So a big, strong team, running power, good forwards as well. That's going to be a decent game against Port Ireland, too, who've got through their games over the last couple of weekends, too. But sticking with Leinster and your... We'll stick with your kind of strengths here. The Leinster Junior Championship this weekend, we've got St. Bridget's Killeshi up against Fighting Cox from Carlow, Sean O'Brien's club. I don't think Sean is still playing with them now. Obviously, the Leinster and Irish rugby star. But that's his club down there. I'm not sure if you saw the moment against Clonmacnoil and Meath there last week where this clip went up with one of the Fighting Cox stars. They're a two-point merchant. I'm going to get his name here because it was absolutely brilliant at the time. He had a free from about 55 yards over by the sideline. And he's getting heckled. He's getting heckled by the Clonmacnoil bench in Meath. Now, there is a Meath legend on the Clonmacnoil bench. And I don't know if he was doing the heckling. Graham Garrity, yeah. I don't know if it was Garrity or not. But, you know, you might get a bit of John in. But doesn't he go and nail it? And turns around then, Eric Cantona style with just the arms out. Brilliant stuff. I loved it. And in the other semi-final as well, in the Leinster Championship, Barcelona Gaels are flying over to take on, I shouldn't have started this, Grange Nolven. So that's going to be two good Leinster Junior quarterfinals or semi-finals as well. And in the semi-finals and the intermediate is Hunterstown Rovers up against Tubberclare in that. And on Sunday, a very strong Salon side up against Clara at 2 o'clock. So that's a lot of the games going on this weekend. I'll be covering Mike Cullen up against St. Bridget's, the Galway champions, taking on the Roscommon champions, St. Bridget's. I was at the Roscommon final a few weeks back. That Bridget's side, they've added a little bit. They've got Conor Carroll in goals now, who transferred over from Oran Mór Murray in Galway over to his...
Where's that game on, T?
Native County. It's in the Hyde. So
okay.
It's on TG Carr on Sunday as well. Yeah, so we'll be chatting next Monday about that. Yeah, that Mike Cullen side have been strong. So that's going to be a really tasty game. And as we mentioned, that refixed Sean O'Leary Newbridge against Scotstown game in the Athletic Grounds on Sunday as well. So we'll keep an eye on those games and have a chat next Monday. Final one, Conor Myler is retired from the Tyrone setup. Bit of news coming out of Tyrone. Conor Myler is retired after a brilliant career with Tyrone. He's had an awful lot of injury troubles over the last couple of years as well. So he's called it a day on his career. I think he hit a peak there in 2021, James, didn't he?
Yeah,
and had some unbelievable battles with. When I say hit a peak, I think he brought his level to a level that he possibly hadn't hit before, and he was absolutely awesome.
His body was in the best possible shape at the time, and you know it probably does. It'd be hard for him because he obviously would have set the goal to get back to those levels and get his body right and everything, and it just broke down a couple of times and found it hard to get back. Brilliant player. All-Ireland winner, top operator, both in attack and defence. Had some great battles with Paddy Clifford as well, down in Kerry. So, great career. Yeah. He'll be missed definitely by Tyrone. But, you know, I just feel sorry for great players like that who maybe bow out, you know, because of the body in the end. You know, it just obviously got the better of him in the end. But he'll be remembered as a great player, 100%.
Yeah, super player. Remind you of anyone? I mean, great players bowing out because of injury.
No, let me think. Fat Ronaldo
wasn't he? I wouldn't have Conor Myler and Ronaldo in the same.
I was thinking of James Donoghue, but we'll keep going here. But no,
Myler was like the archetypal transition player for Tyrone. You know, he was key to what they did. 2021, you're right, Tommy, he was outstanding. Himself and Kieran McGeary, essential to everything Tyrone did well and winning that All-Ireland as well. It was great to see him. He got back out and played a couple of minutes in this year's championship. We've seen, obviously, the scenes with his family and everyone after that match. Because it had clearly been essentially yeah. 2 or 3 years straight of just injuries and
of torture.
Yeah, and it is. It is when you're playing any football at any level, and all you want to do is go out there and play and be up on the pitch with your mates, and it just can't happen for you. And particularly higher the level, the more and more you put into it, you know. And I don't know him personally, but it struck me as someone who was one of the most diligent and prepared, and talk about someone making their sacrifices to be out there and to play. So it was nice for him to have that moment during the summer. And he can definitely look back, and I'm sure he will, on that 2021 season where he was one of the main men for Tyrone to win that All-Ireland. So, yeah, wish him all the best with it.
Yeah.
You know, great career for him. The mental toll, like the it takes.
That's fucking hell.
To try and play for your county, right, and be good is one thing. But to try and play when your body is letting you down, and instead of concentrating on the game, you're concentrating on your body, it's just so draining mentally. So, like, he would have put down a couple of hard years. I just wonder, will he sit down over Christmas and just breathe a bit and just go, do you know what? It was the time. Maybe he might play. Is he gone from football completely?
I don't know. Will he play with all? I think he will play with the club, will he?
The other thing that can happen.
If the body allows him, yeah.
He's won 2 senior titles at Roma.
The other thing that can happen is that you're trying to get back for your county at this incredible high level, right? And you might be just falling short. So you're not really part of that team. And then because you're going for that, you're not part of your club team. So you fall in between these two stools. You're part of no team. You've gone from being the main, he's probably been the main man for Tyrone and for his club, and suddenly he's falling between the two because he's trying to get back for Tyrone, but his body's not letting him. It can be a very lonely place. So,
That's not true. Did you read Sean Powder's brilliant interview with Owen Cormacan in the Irish Examiner there 2 weeks ago? Sean's taken a year out, the Cork star, to head to Australia.
Oh, yeah.
But he spoke about this as well, James, where for much of his career, he felt like a solo athlete. And it really struck me reading that
that's interesting.
He stopped doing his rehab in Porkeycueve. He couldn't do it anymore because the gym in Porkeycueve or wherever they were training looks out onto the pitch. And he might be the only one on some evenings with 30, 40 fellas out in the field. And he's doing his rehab looking out. And he could get himself right for match days. And he's been obviously brilliant whenever he's played for Cork. But he's just struggled so much. And I think it was hamstring injuries over the years that were absolutely...
Lads, all you want to do is play. That, like, ever anything else. Like, you did you see, I'm sure we all did, you see United last night against Everton?
We all watched, didn't we? Oh, yeah.
Like, what, 7 minutes in or something. Like, just, like, you just see this fella's heart breaking, like Ralph Wiggum and the fucking Simpsons. Like, it's like, you can see it. It's, all you want to do as a player is play, and the amount of time you put into it. We all know players in our club teams, our county teams, Jimmy, you went through it personally as well. It's just fucking tough, man. It's tough. Mm-hmm. And fair play. And that's why for someone like Myler, who had his moment through the injury troubles, just to get back on the pitch. Do you know what? You're not enjoying it. You said it, Jimmy. It's like when you have that much of an injury record, you're going into games, and normally when you're 19 or 20 years of age, you just can't wait to be out on the pitch and play the game, and you're going to perform. When you're trying to deal with injuries, just like surviving. You just have this thing in the back of your head going, oh, just get me through this match. Or it's just, it happens. You get miles on the clock and the body just starts telling you, but it's a tough place for players to be, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting with Potter. Like, I actually think that is the right thing to do, is go away for a year, because if you think that it's weighing on you too much, or if you think you're not going to have a good run at it, go and get yourself right and live your life and go yourself get right without people asking you questions and, you know, wanting you to do this and that. You know, just have still enjoy your life, but do your rehab. Take the year. Even if it should only take you 8 or 9 months, leave it, take you 12, but still have your life, like, because mentally it can be such a slog.
That's such a good point. 14 hamstring injuries, by the way, Sean Powder has had in his 10-year intercounty career so far. And it's actually osteopubis that's forced him out most recently. But you mentioned that, James, about people asking you know, how's the injury? And when you're in a county, I suppose, you know, when you're involved in a county team, you're going to get this all the time. But Brian Hurley, he said, made a good point to me. He said, when people ask you how are the legs, they actually don't really care. you're better off just smiling and going, all is grand.
Yeah.
So by hamstring number seven, I was just accepting of it. And Jesus, the torture of it all. Sometimes we look at players in the field and you don't realise what it's taken to get there. Like, and I suppose all these lads have their stories. And it can be cruel at times. I thought Myler had a couple of nice lines in his retirement post that he put up on Instagram, but he said, "Football has been the most beautiful pursuit and one of my greatest teachers. I've given football every part of me and it has challenged me, taught me tough life lessons, but ultimately shaped me and gave me every opportunity both on and off the field to become the person I am today." So all the best to Connor and Sean Powder. Hopefully we see him back in a Cork jersey again after his year out. So the other bits of news in Tyrone that I wanted to mention, Darragh Canavan has been ruled out for the early part of the league, which is a blow. But Malachy O'Rourke has called up Ireland All-Ireland Under 20 winners Rory McCullough, who was absolutely sensational for Loch McCrory in their first Tyrone Championship win earlier this year, and Callum Daly. So McCullough,
I don't think that's a blow for Tyrone or for Darragh Canavan, taking off the early part of the season.
Missing the early part of it, yeah. He's undergone ankle surgery, Paddy.
Heavy mileage of the last number of years with Ergo Kieran, with the colleges, with Jordanstown, obviously, and then with Tyrone and the underage and being the main man. A little bit of a break for him. No harm for him coming back towards the end of the National League starting the summer.
For sure. Yeah. This pod, as always, is brought to you with thanks to AIB. We have got the latest episode of our Football Pod Club series coming out next Wednesday. We hope you've checked out the Gavin White and Shane Ryan episode. Well worth listening back to if you haven't already. Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue, you've both been very good with your time. The kids have all been great as well, so we appreciate them too for giving you a chance to get the pod done. And I think next week we'll have a chat on the games of the weekend, maybe the 14 new managers that have come in for the intercounty season and what they're getting up to at this time of the year now that training is officially allowed back as well. So, boys, enjoy the football. Unless there's any other business, I might let you go now and enjoy the end of the Champions League because it's getting late. Is that all
3-0
good?
Chelsea, yeah.
That's it, Dom. Fair play.
Paddy, well done, lads.
James O'Donoghue, nice
night,
to be back.
Good night.
We'll talk soon. Thanks, boys.
See you, boys.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.